Hello, you are listening to the Nintendo Switch UK podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 155 of the Nintendo Switch UK podcast. I'm Mike.
I'm Anton, and it's lovely to be back. We've got quite a plump episode this week, Mike.
We do, and we're recording a little later than we normally do. We normally try and record on a Sunday, maybe a Monday. It's now Tuesday, so I've been looking forward to getting into this. No Al yet. We'll hopefully see Al and have him back on the show next week, which would be wonderful. Before we do, though, we had a new review this week, which I'm going to let you know about in just a second. Anton, if you want to remind people where they can find out a bit more information about the podcast.
Absolutely. If you want to learn more about the podcast, all the different stuff that we do, including video and all additional shows such that we do for the Patreons, head to nsukp.co.uk. We have a full breakdown of all the lovely tiers that we have on our Patreons and some of the spicy rewards that could be coming your way.
Absolutely. So our review this week is from Gaz Was MK2, maybe Mortal Kombat, I don't know. Excellent is the heading with a thumbs up, and it's 5 stars, so thank you so much for that. The content says, great podcast. I always find myself every week tuning into the awesome podcast. Definitely 5 stars. I love listening before bed. Absolutely. I do a similar thing, actually. I like listening in the car to podcasts. I also like, if you're kind of just in that mood to sort of listen to something but not kind of have to focus on the TV, you can close your eyes and you can chill at night. Great option, podcasts as well. Where do you like to listen to them, Anton?
Oh, I'm a public transport person, so I save my audiobooks. I'll multitask when I'm gaming, and then podcasts, it's like when I'm on the move and, you know, you might need a chat to, like, say the bus driver or bump into somebody, and you can kind of miss a little snippet, so you can kind of be a little bit more casual about it that way. So
can you multitask a game and an audiobook at the same time?
Oh, yeah, that's how I get through a whole bunch of them. I find, wow. I don't do story games that way. So, for instance, Halo Infinite, for one, you know, when I was doing that, I was, you know, collecting audio logs, I was collecting skulls, I was revisiting areas that I already went, and I kind of saved my casual gameplay for audiobooks, and then certain times I'll dedicate to being truly immersed if the title calls for it.
Nice. Well, I definitely couldn't do that, but I love the fact that you can. That's to be commended, Anton, to be perfectly honest. Have you been playing much this week?
A little bit. I think the highlight is still playing Kirby in the Forgotten Land with Louise, who does a bunch of our awesome reviews. Do check it out on the YouTube. And yeah, 100% that now, so
wow.
Fantastic. It gets brutally hard at the end, which I wasn't expecting, because I think we went like a world without dying, but it gets up there, it gets brutal, so hold on if you're kind of finding it a little too easy. And then outside of that, because I played Streets of Rage 4 last week, I've been going on a Mega Drive kick, so I had the Mega Drive and the Mega CD hooked up, so did Soul Crest, I did a Jaguar XGS game, which I had when I was a kid and loved, and a good chunk of Echo the Dolphin.
Wow.
Still have
wow.
No idea how it works, but I love being a dolphin, so nostalgia wins in that case, I suppose. How about yourself?
That game is very nostalgic, but again, like you, I never quite knew what I was doing other than that I was Echo, and that was kind of fun. I have played a bit this week, but it's mostly been Overcooked, weirdly. So I've obviously finished 1 and 2. There's some DLC, but we had a friend up at the weekend who, and she loves video games. She'd never played Overcooked, and I said to her, why don't you have a go? I think you'll like it. We played, and she was obsessed. So we played many, many levels. We did some of the DLC. We actually played it 3-player, which I've never done, and we got into a really good rhythm of it. And actually, it was a lot of fun with 3. I think that Overcooked 2 you can play with up to 4, and it's really, really good. It's hard because you've got a lot of communication to, you know, to be had in real time and things, but a lot of fun. So we did that. We did a little bit of Astro Bears, another multiplayer. We did
Classic.
Tricky Towers. We did, what else did we do? We did some Trivial Pursuit. We did a couple of other games as well. So a few of the kind of multiplayer games, which is a lot of fun, especially when you've got, excuse me, when you've got friends around. And that was a lot of fun. So as well as that, though, I did buy a new game. I haven't even started Kirby. You know, I've had a bit of a busy month. I'm going to cough again. So see if you can guess, what did I buy?
Oh, I'm trying to think, what were the big games this week? Lost in Random came out, but I don't think you would be jumping on day one for that. And honestly, no idea so far.
All right, okay. Well, I've got Kirby to play, and I will play that next because I'm very excited about that. And I've been craving getting stuck into a game a lot recently, and it's just not been able to happen because of various things. However, I bought, after watching lots of reviews of it, 13 Sentinels Aegis Rim.
Interesting choice. It's, you know, when they were showing off that game, it very much had, like, this will be a cult classic that some people will be like, I don't like it, and then other people will be like, it's the greatest game of its time, once in a generation. How are you feeling so far?
So, having watched a lot, read a lot about the game without spoilers, and looked at a lot of the reviews, it is incredibly well reviewed, and it seems like my kind of game because of the story content. So, the big thing in this game is the story content. There is some varied gameplay. There's some tactical kind of elements. There's some RTS elements. There's also some sort of more visual novel point and click elements. There's lots of different things that it does, which is very, very cool. Adventure, action, RPG-esque stuff. But what I like more than anything is it's compared to Persona sometimes because of the content and the storyline, but it's also, weirdly, compared to Back to the Future in terms of the storyline because it's a time travel game, and that's the bit that I'm excited about because I love anything to do with time travel. I love the fact that this is well reviewed. I think it's on Metacritic, it's 89%, but 94% if you look at kind of Google users and what they like. So I think it's going to be really good. I'm really excited to have a go at this because it's a little different. I wouldn't have necessarily picked it on one look at the trailer, but having watched a lot more, it looks like a game I can really get stuck into, but I need to do Kirby first.
Rightfully so, but I hope you enjoy it once the time comes. If you don't mind me asking, were you able to successfully snag a deal on it?
Yeah, I didn't pay full price. I think I got about £5-6 off it. So it was kind of mid-30s, like 35 or something, which for a brand new game, it's only just out. Certainly it's only just out on Nintendo Switch. If you want to play it on one of the other consoles, you'll get it much cheaper.
Yeah, but nevertheless, if you are listening and want to find a deal, we do a show called Roundup where we go for deals of the week, what to watch, and every game that's coming out on a fortnightly window. So do check that out on our website.
Yes, and you can do that by signing up. And if you head to nsukp.co.uk/support-us, you can do just that. It is time then to get started with this week's news.
Tell us.
Playtonic and Fabrads have announced Demon Turf Neon Splash for the Nintendo Switch. It's a 2D-inspired 3D platformer. What's your take on this one?
Yes, this one I'm kind of intrigued by. You know, I've seen a lot of these, you're a 2D sheet of paper in a 3D world, and one of the issues I've always found with them is when they have attempted platforming, you know, you are a 2D object with the kind of collision of, you're a 3D object with the collision of a 2D one. So I've never seen them do platforming very well. However, initial impressions on this title are very, very positive. It's a second in a franchise, so they've been able to refine the mechanics. And overall, I think it's got quite a charming, engaging art style.
Yeah, I have to agree. I think it looks a lot of fun. It's got, from what I can tell, a pretty sort of solid platforming element to it. And it's less about combat and more about platforming and kind of making sure that you're getting from where you need to go to, where you need to come from to where you need to go. It's got kind of Super Mario Sunshine vibes, but in a kind of cel-shaded-y kind of way, I guess. And it's very well reviewed as well already. I mean, I'm seeing things like 9 out of 10 and all sorts. And I don't think it's going to be particularly expensive as well. I actually don't know what the current price is. I don't know if you've spotted that yet. If you've seen that.
I believe it is as low as £5 on Steam. So wow. I wouldn't expect over a tenner on Nintendo Switch. So honestly, a very, very fair price for quite a charming title.
Yeah, I have to say it does look pretty good. I've just checked, it's $4.49. Actually,
excellent.
On the Switch, so even cheaper on the Switch, so definitely the way to go. Atlus have announced Megami Tensei Gaiden Shinyaku Last Bible for the Nintendo Switch. It's a 2007 mobile game that's found a new home. Now, mobile gaming of this magnitude in Japan is a big, big deal. So it'll be certainly interesting to see what this is like.
Indeed, and it's delightful to see because it comes from an era of mobile gaming, or at least by smartphone mobile gaming, when they were very dedicated towards replicating the handheld gaming experience. It wasn't quite in a stage where the genre had defined its own motifs and gimmicks. So this is very much like an RPG that you might find on a Game Boy Advance, and for the most part, throughout kind of modern gaming history, this is an kind of space of gaming little hidden oddities that's been neglected. I think the only other people I've seen port a mobile game of this era to a smartphone has been Kingdom Hearts as of the large collection. So lovely to see this find a new home, and I think it'd be nice to see more of these kind of lost Java games make their way to modern platforms.
Yeah, I pretty much agree with everything you've said, and I think it does look good. I think it looks very classic in its design, and I think it certainly looks like it could be a really solid addition. And I think the big thing, again, it's that archiving of games and that resurrecting of games that maybe people have forgotten about or maybe haven't had a chance to play. And yeah, it looks good. I think it's going to appeal to a lot of people, this one, especially if the price is right, which I'm sure it will be for this one. The next story then from Team Solitude, they've announced a sketchbook about her son for Nintendo Switch. That's S-U-N, son, rather than S-O-N. And it's a narrative adventure based on the album Planet X by Red Ribbon. I'm assuming Red Ribbon are the ones that did One Night Stand, given the art style, but I'm not 100% sure that. I'll maybe double check that. But certainly the art style is pretty much identical to that. So tell me what this one's about and what your thoughts are.
Yeah, this one seems to be quite a touching title. It has quite a dreamy ambience and setting, and seems to be kind of being quite down to earth in the themes it's trying to play with. And overall, I'm very impressed for especially a $3.99 title. Good bargain. And I think considering it is almost as if of an extended concept album, transmedia product, $3.99 for an album is good alone. So I think this is a great value proposition if you are into visual novels.
Yeah, I love a visual novel, and I think at $3.99 you can't really go too wrong. It looks well done. It's not the same team that did One Night Stand, which has got similar artwork, in fact, very similar artwork. But this looks good. I think for $3.99, again, if you want something that's a little different, that isn't maybe what you might always play, and if you're new to visual novels, again, it's a kind of price that might be worth checking out as well. Young Horses have announced Bug Snacks for the Nintendo Switch. It's an adventure game where you find and capture the eponymous half-bug, half-snack creatures. Switchport includes the Isle of Big Snacks DLC, coming out on the 28th of April. It's priced at $24.99, so we're probably going to be about £20, I would think. Yeah, what's your take on Bug Snacks?
I'm absolutely smitten by it. I think it's going to be a great title. It already is a great title from its PlayStation 5 debut. The team Young Horses did a fabulous job with Octodad, Dadliest Catch. And this one, you know, it's kind of got that fun, I guess, Slime Rancher-esque mechanics. However, it's pushing it through a world that is dripped in mystery and intrigue. And of course, considering it's Young Horses, humor. And the fact we've got the DLC included for free for $24.99, I'm very smitten by this. I really hope they do a physical release that is accessible to the EU market.
Yeah, I have to say it does look very good, and it's great to see a game that was once a PlayStation exclusive as well come to the Nintendo Switch. And again, it gives me those vibes of the games you've mentioned. And also, it's got a kind of Viva Pinata quality about the world. You know, it's got that kind of very vibrant characters, big, vibrant environments as well. So this looks really, really good. I really hope this is well reviewed, because we've got quite a few kind of platform kind of games and first person shooter type games. We don't have many that kind of cross this style on the Switch yet, and we've got a couple, but I think this one could find a kind of niche. So excited to see how well this does, and definitely going to be looking out for it for my own collection as well, I think. Nancon have announced Chef Life. It's a restaurant simulator for the Nintendo Switch, a Michelin-approved cooking game, coming out October the 6th, 2022. I've seen quite a few cooking games, but is this one going to be the creme de la creme of them, Anton?
Fingers crossed. It's definitely the most immersive and realistic one that's ever been made. And with it having the Michelin accreditation, it makes me optimistic that it is a quality title. One of my largest disappointments on the Nintendo Switch was the horrible port of Cooking Simulator. One of the worst ports I've seen on the console. So to get another title, given it an attempt, I'm really, really excited but optimistic that they can live up to it. You know, just the small details, especially when you're doing these Michelin star meals where it's just all these tiny dishes. I hope they're able to knock it out of the park because, you know, there's fun to be had in cooking.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomised genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favourite podcast platforms now.
Yeah, it's coming out on the other consoles as well. PS4, 5, Xbox One, Series X. S and PC. So it's nice to see the Switch included on a release at the same time as the other heavyweights, and October the 6th is the release date. Next up, Nippon Ichi Software have announced Grim Grimoire for the Nintendo Switch. It's a port of a PS2 JRTS coming out on the 28th of July 2022. We're getting quite a lot of that era sort of slightly niche games, certainly for a lot of us. What about this one? Is this going to get people's attention?
Yeah, I think, you know, similar sentiments that I had concerning 13 Sentinels that we mentioned earlier in the podcast, where it is fundamentally a cult classic, and it looks like they're going for a fairly straightforward port. They're not reinventing the wheel. And that means it'll have all the good and the bad of the original. You know, some people will think it is just this game they absolutely missed and they wish they had known earlier. And other people will think it's a little bit poor. And it was a title that had a very mixed reception when it initially came out. So I'm personally on the sense it doesn't quite click with me. It's a little bit too muddy in its presentation. However, in a time where we're not pursuing the most cutting-edge graphics all of the time and we've got the space for indies and 2D games, I hope that it's maybe looked at with a slightly gentler light than it was when it's originally released.
Yeah, I think it's great that we have these games because I think a lot of these games will be forgotten over time, but not if we get these ports. And as long as it's a good port, I welcome it. It's not for me, this one, I don't think, but I think there will be an audience. It's coming out on the 28th of July. This next one, though, I have to say, does look like it might be for me. I really like the look of this. It is an older title again. It's just hit its 11th anniversary, and it's coming out, we think it's April the 28th, it will come to the Switch, which is cool. It's Crim. They've announced El Shaddai Ascension of the Metatron for the Nintendo Switch, and it's a cult classic action game. The date's just been announced today, actually. It is going to be April the 28th, which is exactly the 11th anniversary of the game, which was originally on the Xbox 360 and PS3. So talking about ports of old games, for me, this one is just on the right side of a remaster, or not even a remaster, but a port. It feels like this is quality enough that this is probably going to work quite well on the Switch.
I absolutely agree. I remember like doing YouTube when this game came out, and it was all of the people that had like serious gaming knowledge. They were like, El Shaddai's going to be the best thing ever. And even though I've not had the opportunity to pick it up, I'm inclined to agree that it's going to be a solid title. I believe it was developed by the people that, or at least the director, was involved with Okami. So like that title, it has a gorgeous art style, kind of hack and slash in areas. And like what we were saying with Grim Grimoire, I think this will be one that, with a fresh lens looking at it, when people aren't just waiting forward to only Gears of War and Call of Duty and FIFA, it might be looked at a little bit more favorably.
Yeah, I think this one could be really good. And it's nice, again, when you've got a game that did have hype and a lot of cult following as well, to see it given some new life too. No More Heroes 3 is no longer Switch only. It's coming to the PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series S and X. This is an interesting one, because No More Heroes has kind of always been associated with Nintendo Switch. What do you think is the catalyst behind this, and do you think this is a sign of things to come?
It's quite interesting. I'm overall happy for Sumo 51, because, to be honest, this will just mean more capital to help fund No More Heroes 4, and for select people, they'll get to see a slightly more gorgeous version of this title. But it is interesting when we've had these titles make the leap from the Switch only to the other two consoles that have had a Nintendo pedigree. For instance, Wonderful 101. Now, it did sell on the other two platforms, but if I recall, it did not sell a quarter as much as it did on Nintendo Switch. So I'm interested to see if this title is able to break bound the Nintendo heritage it's got and find a new audience on a new console.
Yeah, I tend to think that maybe it won't, actually. I'm not sure. I'm just not sure about this. And that's because, again, there's so much competition on these other systems, and a very different type of gamer plays games on those systems. I'm not sure. It does feel like a game that could have been for the PlayStation or the Xbox, but I'm just not sure about this, and whether it will be successful. But time will tell, and I hope I'm proved wrong for the sake of the team behind it. Next up, Turning Red director Domi Shi Chunky Cute, this says the Chunky Cute aesthetic was inspired by Nintendo games like Pokemon, Earthbound, and the simple beauty of Breath of the Wild. So tell us about Turning Red.
Yeah, so this is the new Pixar movie that Tumblr and Twitter have fallen in love with, and it does look like a gorgeous feature that I really need to get on watching. And one of the things that is distinct about it is the aesthetic of it, and it's fascinating to see Domshi elaborate on the inspirations for it, because it wasn't an area I would have connected the dots to. However, now that I see it, it's very transparent in a respectful kind of homage-y way. So I love to kind of get the origin behind these decisions, and it's a gorgeous movie and I really need to watch it very soon.
Yeah, I haven't watched this either. I'd seen there was a new one and hadn't seen much about it, but a lot of people are saying that it might be the best sort of Disney movie of the last sort of few years, and Soul is excellent, and that's quite new. That would be up there for me, but this does look good. I'm excited to kind of check this out and to see how good it is. I really, really hope that that it does well, or not that it does well, but that it's as good as people are saying it is. And next up, Nintendo have acquired new land for $40 million for expanding Nintendo's R&D department. The building is adjacent to the existing headquarters. That's a lot of money.
Indeed, and it's an interesting move. We've recently, I think within of the last couple of years, definitely within of the time that we've been running this podcast, Nintendo recently kind of merged all of their scattered buildings into a centralized location. So it's a bit funny to see them opening up another building so quickly after just getting everybody under one roof. But I guess that's the best way to expand, or try and keep as many people under as one roof as possible. And if you need to expand, you need to expand. And it's great to seeing it going into R&D, because that just means we've got more exciting stuff. And it's quite a large building. So I really expect some exciting things coming from the Nintendo hardware department.
Yeah, absolutely. They're certainly spending money, but then it's Nintendo. They can spend money forever and still have money. Human Things have announced the Genki Covert Dock Mini for £35. And I can see the appeal of this, I guess, if you're wanting to travel and you want to be able to hook up to, I don't know, the television in the apartment that you're in, or the hotel or whatever. That makes a lot of sense. I tend to take the dock with me. It's not the biggest thing in the world if you're already packing stuff. However, the dock mini, I do like the idea of it. £35, though, does seem feels steep, but maybe I'm just being cheap.
Yeah, I think it's definitely expensive for like a wall wart plug, but as a, you know, full dock and power supply in one, I'm very shocked by both the value and the size of it, because even for an 18-watt charger, the use of Nitrium Gallium technology do excuse me, I butchered that wording, is, you know, is small by that standards. And I think this will be one I'll be picking up just to, one, have this super tiny dock that works with the Nintendo Switch that's smaller than that, you know, normal wall plug that the Switch has. And then it can also be used with the likes of any USB-C through DisplayPort device, which includes the upcoming Steam Deck or a MacBook or any sort of kind of USB-C video out device. So I'm definitely excited for this. And then you get a nice little wee charger to carry around as well, which is tiny.
You see, now you're saying that, and now you might have made me reassess. I hadn't really thought about the power supply part of it as well. So maybe £35 doesn't sound so bad. You might have just done a good sales job there, Anton.
Thank you. I have been looking because I'm wanting a little dock that can do both the Switch and the Steam Deck. And most of them are about, you know, £18 for the really cheap ones. And then you have to get a charger on top of it. So this for £35, I'm like, all right, they've done it.
Yeah, well, you could get a job with them as a salesman. Next up, NSO will no longer be sold with the automatic renewal turned on. This, of course, being Nintendo Switch Online, and users will now have to opt in if they wish to continue to pay. This will be in response to a lot of the laws changing where, or certainly the guidelines changing, where they're trying to make sure that people have a choice as to whether they continue to use a service, especially as most people are not very good at looking at renewal dates and making sure that they're aware of them. I think this is sensible given the current climate as well. I think it's particularly at the moment, it feels that this is an extra thing for a lot of people, and it makes sense that they're not forcing people to renew without having to manually do it.
Absolutely. Similarly, I think I got caught out this year with my automatic renewal. I was wanting to switch my payment plan and got caught out, which was a bit annoying, and then bought the Nintendo Switch expansion pack for additional money, so it just came up to more expensive. But nevertheless, I'm glad this is, especially for a console that is kind of maybe got a younger audience, or, you know, it's a casual thing. You know, you might just turn on like a free trial one evening to play Animal Crossing with your mates and then absolutely forget that you did it, and then you've got like, you know, a bill comes out at the end of the month. And you know, I think this is a nice way to do things. I'm glad we're moving forward this way.
Yeah, absolutely. We want to see that more across the board, actually. I think that's definitely not a bad thing at all. Game developers of Reddit, Twitter, and Reddit, there's two Reddits, speculate that the newest untitled Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild sequel gameplay looks too good to be running on Nintendo Switch. I've seen a lot about this week, and of course we've had the delay as well recently. So there's a lot of talk about, well, does this delay mean that it's to coincide with the next model of the Nintendo Switch or the next console from Nintendo? What's your take on it, Anton?
Yeah, this has been a very interesting one to watch the public census on, where I remember when Breath of the Wild originally hit this stage in its development where people are like, I don't think this is running on Wii U. People were quite happy about it, and you know, be like, oh yeah, you know, I'll be able to get it on a newer, better console, not the Wii U, despite it holding a close part space in my heart. However, on this time, people are mad. They're like, how dare you don't say it will run on Nintendo Switch? There will be a Nintendo Switch version of it regardless, and who knows, I think it's quite likely it could have a kind of more powerful port, whether that is on a Switch Pro or a Switch 2.
It kind of makes sense in the Breath of the Wild, we think back to 2017 and that being on the Wii U and the Nintendo Switch. It kind of makes sense that this might be the one that takes it to the next one. So I can see where people are jumping to that conclusion, especially with the delay as well. And I'm kind of on the fence. I mean, I think if that is the case, then I'm good with that. As long as there's backward compatibility, that's the one thing I really don't want us to completely change where we are with the Nintendo
Switch.
Because yeah, we've built it up for so long now, I don't want to be going backwards.
Absolutely, and I'm hoping with the fact that they've switched to a more universal platform with ARM and then the NVIDIA Tegra chips inside of the Nintendo Switch, that will hopefully ensure backwards compatibility. But, you know, I think it's quite likely because, admittedly, they have done an exceptional job of patching it up. But when it first came out, Breath of the Wild did have some hitches, especially once you got to the desert region. I remember like going through those fin tunnels because there was just so much stuff happening on top and all the little nooks and crannies, and there was dust and there was wind. That area would give you frame drops. So it isn't like the original Breath of the Wild had massive headroom, and they're massively expanding the verticality of this world. So it doesn't seem totally unreasonable to me that to think that this could be coming to a new console.
Yeah, quite possibly. Xenoblade Chronicles 3. Now, usually we get games delayed, but this one, it's gone the other way. We thought it was going to be September 2022. That was the release window. It's been brought forward to July the 29th, 2022. And I wonder, in the same way, Anton, that Breath of the Wild 2 has been delayed, could there be a similar reasoning here in that they've made this for the Nintendo Switch? It's part of the Chronicles trilogy, which we now have sitting nicely on the Switch. Is this more a case of them going, let's get it out on the system before anything's announced so that people buy this on the current system and they're not kind of going to just say, well, I'm not going to buy that because there's a new one, new console coming out next year?
I think you're absolutely on the money, and I hadn't even considered that as a factor, because I think an important thing to note is Monolith Studios is a support studio for Breath of the Wild 1.
Right.
And many other Nintendo titles. I believe they did a lot of the world building and the NPCs of Breath of the Wild. So the fact that, you know, Breath of the Wild's been delayed, it's possibly internally at Monolith, they've went ahead and shuffled people within of their departments to at least get this out, get some money for the door, or at least to just get something on the Nintendo Switch calendar, considering it would have been fairly finished. But I love it when we get these games coming out early, because that means they looked at this title and they're like, there's no polishing that we could do. This is spotless. And I love to see that.
It's Xenoblade. I think it will be great. The second one was excellent. I didn't finish it because I didn't get on that well with the battle system, the fighting system, whereas I know that some of the other ones have a different system. So I might revisit that, though, because it does look really, really strong, the third one.
Absolutely. And I've got to give massive kudos to whoever was in charge of the artwork for this title, because I love the fact that they've kept it consistent with the last two entries.
Yeah.
It's so rare that we have titles doing that. The only one I can kind of see keeping up the legacy is Grand Theft Auto 5 or Final Fantasy. Oh, not even Final Fantasy. They ruined it with 15. There's not many games that have like that consistent box art, and I think it's very bold, and I love that they've went for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, it is time for Turbo Mode.
Yes.
So I'm going to go through the extra stories. There's a lot of stuff to talk about this week, and then I'm going to come to Anton to pick maybe two or three that you really want to talk about. I'll maybe mention a couple in more detail as well. There are quite a few this week, actually, so I'll go through these and then we'll take them on the ones that you want to talk about. So the audiobook of Reggie Fils-Aimé's Disrupting the Game will feature 1 hour bonus conversation between Reggie and Jeff Keighley. The Great Ace Attorney has now sold 500,000 copies. Vicarious Visions creators of Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy and Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 have merged with Blizzard Entertainment. The Mario Kart Tour next course is going to be Amsterdam. Half-Life 2 mod features Crystal from Star Fox, and the original voice returned to the role for Estelle Ellis. Limited Run will be distributing a physical Star Wars The Force Unleashed. Following the delay of Untitled Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild sequel, sales of The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild went up 51% in the UK. Who's still buying it? Epic Games have invested and partnered with Aquiris, and the creator, who are the creator of Horizon Chase Turbo. My Nintendo pre-order for Mario Strikers Battle League Football is a fan scarf, and the My Nintendo pre-order for Nintendo Switch Sports is a water bottle. Brown Monsters is doing a 2,000 game run of Rush Rally Collection, including Rush Rally Origins and Rush Rally 3. I feel like that's one for Al. Shin Megami Tensei 5 has sold 1 million copies. Dragon Quest Builders 2 is the next Nintendo Switch Online free trial. It's going to be live until the 26th of April. My wife has finished that one and thoroughly enjoyed it. And Digimon Survive has a release date of July the 28th, 2022. There's a lot to digest there, Anton, but maybe pick a few of your sort of favourites.
Yes, not much to say on this one, but I must say I love the investment I made over a year ago to pre-order the audiobook of Reggie Fils-Aimé's Disrupting the Game. Value goes up week by week on this podcast. Very happy about that. And yeah, it's kind of amazing to see the sales of Breath of the Wild have went up. I'm wondering who was like, oh, I won't buy Breath of the Wild, I'll wait until Breath of the Wild 2. That doesn't quite make sense. I would have went for the first game in that sub-franchise. And of course, as you mentioned, Run Monster doing the 2000 print run of Rush Rally. If you're interested, it's a game that Alistair's done a wee review of on our YouTube, and he seemingly quite enjoyed it. So delightful to see it getting some more representation. And yeah, fascinated to see what condition Digimon Survive releases in with it having been delayed from, I think, 2018, 2019, every single year. But this is the first time that they've locked it into a day. They've usually just been like, summer, fall. And this is the first time they've locked into a date. So it gives me a sense of optimism that we might get this product in whichever bad or good state it may be in.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, a word for Amsterdam being the next Mario Kart tour course. Interesting because, of course, we're waiting to find out details of what the next ones are going to be on Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. And I do wonder if maybe we'll see some crossovers with some of the newer ones that are coming to Mario Kart Tour. It makes sense for them to develop it for both systems, mobile and the Switch, at the same time. It's probably quite an easy job for them, I would think. So that one. Also, Horizon Chase Turbo is a great game. I've played that quite a lot, actually. So I'm not hugely surprised that Epic Games have invested in the creator of that, because it's very, very good and very well done. Actually, one of the best kind of retro racers on the Switch, in my opinion. And the other one I was going to mention there, Dragon Quest Builders 2. Again, I think that's pretty cool. I love it when they do these free trials. And definitely, if you're looking for something to play right now, you might want to go and check out that one, because it's free to play as a trial. So definitely always good, in my book anyway. It is time for the rumours.
Now, I'm not normally one for gossip, but
got a few rumours this week, actually. We're going to start with Bandai Namco. They've registered Japanese and EU trademarks for Last Recollection, which has fans suspecting a hack. Tell us a bit about this one. What does this kind of mean?
Yeah, so Dot Hack is a very, very, very beloved RPG on the PlayStation 2. And consistently, it's among some of the most expensive games on the PlayStation 2 that people want to play. You know, there are some titles on there that are just rare because nobody bought them. This is one that's rare and everybody wants. So the fact that it's getting new exposure on a new console will be incredibly exciting. And I think they did a multitude of games on the PlayStation 2 alone. I think maybe five or so titles that kind of work as one cohesive collection. So the fact that it's getting compiled as one final product is delightful. And I'm glad fans let me know this is a Dot Hack from them just knowing it's called Last Recollection. I wouldn't have been able to figure that out in the slightest.
Not at all. I mean, I don't know much about this at all. So this is certainly interesting, and there'll be a lot of people watching this keenly. Obviously, there is already. Also, South Korean PSN and rating boards have leaked the key art for Sonic Origins. So fans are suspecting more details are to follow. This is definitely one for you and me, I think, as well. Actually, the other game I bought, by the way, physical, was Sonic Colors. So that's on my list to play, which I thought you would approve. But Sonic Origins, yeah, I mean, I suspect it won't be that long.
Yeah, this one was a peculiar title, announced beside Sonic Frontiers. You know, both games were set to miss the 25th anniversary of the franchise. And I kind of suspected when that happened, when they announced Sonic Origins next to it, you know, Sonic Origins would have been like a little quick Christmas or, you know, September, October title to fill in the calendar and have something out there for their 25th anniversary. They've completely missed that by. And originally the collection was meant to include Sonic 1, 2 and 3, CD and Knuckles. And it doesn't take, over a year to port those titles. So I'm interested to see what this collection is. I know the games have been rebuilt by Christian Whitehead, but the first two games were already rebuilt by him for mobile. So I'm expecting maybe a little bit of a special collection here. Getting to play the definitive ports of these games. The mobile versions had been the definitive ports for the longest time, and sadly you had to play them with touchscreen. So getting those onto console alone puts a smile to my face.
Absolutely. I mean, they're Sonic 1 and 2 are two of the earliest games I completed, and was absolutely obsessed with Sonic when I was a kid. So I think this could be really good. And I really hope it is special. I hope it's got a lot of titles we're not expecting. I'm thinking even stuff like the Master System and the Game Gear and all that stuff. It would be so nice if we could just get a really great collection of those games. So let's see what happens. I'm hoping it will be soon. Nintendo's official Game Boy Advance emulator of the Nintendo Switch has just leaked. There's been a lot of talk about this. So the Datamine has discovered a big list of Game Boy Advance games that are being tested on Nintendo Switch. So there are games like Castlevania, Circle of the Moon, Choo Choo Rocket, Harvest Moon, Friends of Mineral Town, Koro Koro Puzzle, Happy Panichu, Lufia, The Ruins of Lore, Mario Party Advance, Mega Man Battle Network 5, Team Proto Man, Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, Red Rescue Team. So lots and lots of games. There's a bunch more as well. We did say this a while ago that this might happen. It's an interesting one because the Game Boy Advance, you think about the Game Boy Color, I think about the DS a lot and the 3DS, and I sometimes forget about the Game Boy Advance because it was that middle ground, I think, because it was still a Game Boy and it wasn't quite a DS, and it's kind of I forget about it.
Interesting, because this was the first Game Boy that came out when I had brain cells. Before then, it was nothing. And it's the Game Boy Color I forget. I remember the Game Boy and Game Boy Advance, and the color is the one that's the odd one out. But nevertheless, delightful to see kind of progress being made on this front. And, you know, we've kind of got an answer that I was pondering, because I remember when I went back to start collecting for the Game Boy Micro, the Game Boy Advance library is primarily made up of a lot of Super Nintendo games that have been ported or upgraded. And for bringing in a nice shiny new launch lineup for the NES Online, you know, they can't quite do that. So it's interesting seeing them lean a lot harder on third party for the selection of games shown in this data leak. And also amazing to see is kind of watching footage of this before Nintendo goes wild with their hammer. It's amazing to see how accessible the hacking scene has gotten on Nintendo Switch. People are like, yeah, just go to this app store that we've made and managed. And it's just like easy peasy for people to get this stuff up and running. So hopefully this prompts Nintendo to get up and running.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I really hope so. I think we should see more of this stuff. I think especially if we are paying more now for extra stuff in the DLC. And I think we are starting to see a lot of value now. But it would be great if we could just get this going, or maybe if it is a Nintendo Switch Online thing, it might not be. I don't know. I assume it. Would you think it would be? Surely it would be.
I think with the amount of third-party content that's in it, it'll need to be in the expansion pack.
Yeah, that's what I
know.
Thought, yeah.
That's what people were saying when the collection just first launched, that a lot of the cost was licensing for particularly the Nintendo Switch. The Sega Mega Drive and Genesis collection, they had to pay a decent chunk in licensing for that, and that was partially the reason why the expansion pack cost a little bit more than people were hoping for.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I would imagine that will be the case. I think it's great, and I really hope that they continue to do this and to give us more of these collections, and I hope that wherever we go with the next console, it takes the same infrastructure. I don't want to start again and lose everything, much like the Virtual Console, you know, which was on the Wii U. That was great, but we've moved on from that. But if you had that, we didn't progress that. So your collection's on another system of retro games. So you're buying them again. So but then again, it's the games industry. So they'll probably create something completely different and charge us all again.
Yeah, I would love to be like definitely, but Nintendo works in weird and wonderful ways. And you know, it will be a shame if they don't, because I think both Microsoft and PlayStation going into this 10th generation of gaming, or 9th generation, I believe, has shown the benefit of leveraging your existing infrastructure, where, you know, I remember getting one of the next-gen consoles and just being like, oh, I don't even need to play any new games. I've still got this full library, and, you know, the software is feature-rich and filled with anything you would want to do. And it would be a shame to see Nintendo reverse in that regard, considering we just got folders.
Yeah, well, yeah, we've got folders. Maybe one day we'll get backgrounds rather than just two. That is the final rumor this week, and that is us almost finished for another episode of the Nintendo Switch UK podcast. Just enough time again to thank you for downloading and listening. We really appreciate it. Remember to subscribe and like, and if you want to leave us a review as well, they are greatly appreciated. They do help us out a lot. Remember, everything that we get in for the show from our Patreons, any of the money that comes to us, it goes straight back into the show. And if you want to find out more about how we run things, then it's nsukp.co.uk. Anything you want to add, Anton, before we finish up?
Yeah, I think definitely just head over to the website, learn more about our Patreon tiers if you're interested in supporting us. We don't make any money from the show. It just goes into making the show even better. We've got a new mug club coming up, which is very exciting. So we do a whole bunch of fun stuff, also including all the additional bonus shows that we do.
Brilliant. We will see you next week. Goodbye.
Au revoir.